Last week we talked about, as John was teaching, not just Jew, not just Gentile, but this is called the General Epistle of John to every child of God who would sit under the preaching of this gospel or take up this epistle and read it. He told us about our advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ. Our advocate relayed that as an attorney in a court of law, pleading the cause for his client if he's in the defense. If he's on the prosecuting side, he's arguing his case against his client. Christ did not come to work a plea bargain. Christ did not come to belittle the law or weaken the law in any way. Christ came, bore our guilt, bore our shame. His body became sin for us, his people. He was nailed to the cross, and in that sense, he declares our righteousness before God the Father, and that I have paid the price. I shed my blood for those thou hast given me. And he's our advocate. And then he said, Jesus Christ the righteous, he is the only righteous man that's ever been on the face of the earth. Some make Christ a prophet, some make him God. But the truth of the matter is, he is all God and he is all man. God is above sin, cannot sin, cannot even look upon sin. Jesus Christ, the man, is the only man that's ever came to this world or ever will be that is truly righteous. He is a propitiation for our sins. He's our covering for our sins. We went back to the mercy seat in Exodus 25 and we showed the two cherubs upon the mercy seat facing each other with their wings outspread to heaven. And they face each other because they represent the Son of God and the Son of Man. And their works agree, for His work is one. And He said He's not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That is not the world of Adam. The world of Adam is condemned. The world of Adam fell in Adam. God chose a people. God loved a people because it pleased Him, Jew and Gentile, of every family, every tongue, of every people upon the face of the earth. God chose a people from them. And Christ died for them. And He is the covering for the sins of every child of God. And the rest were left in their own state of fallen Adam. The world spoken of, rightly dividing the word of truth, is the world the Father gave to the Son. Those that are included in the election, that's the choice of God, of grace, unmerited love and favor. And hereby, starting today's text, do we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments? First, let me tell you what this is not saying. This is not saying that if we are good people and we work hard and work our way to Christ, or we make a decision to walk with God and be with Christ or accept Him or whatever wind of doctrine teaches, that we know that we're His. It's not what it's saying. Rightly divide the word of truth. We've already read in the first chapter. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We are all sinners. We read last week in the second chapter that we must have an advocate with God. Christ, our intercessor, the only intercessor between man and God. We have to have, in verse 2, a covering, a propitiation for our sins. The mercy seat teaches us that covering is in the mercy of God, And it is in the Son of God, the living Word of God, who was made flesh to suffer for our sins. He shed His blood for us. It covers our sin. Christ died for you. Christ therefore made you holy and without blame before God the Father in love. That was predestinated. They don't like that word. I'm so sorry. It's in the Bible. They were predestinated. That means their destiny was set. From when? When you accepted Christ? When you worked your way there? God forbid. We're all sinners. Our works of righteousness are as filthy rags before the throne of God. Our best works dare not appear before the holy, righteous God. We are there because God loved us and has loved us and set our destiny before the foundation of the world. And the Son of God has come into the world, made in the flesh, incarnate from a woman to become, not to become, that's the wrong word, forgive me, to be made flesh for the purpose of God, that we would be clean and Christ would be glorified. Now we are clean in Him. Let's begin the Scripture. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Go with me back to Ezekiel 36. You can find this briefly mentioned in Ezekiel 11. And I'll read that to you. And then I will tell you why I had rather, I pray by the Spirit of God, use Ezekiel 36. You've got to first of all remember in Ezekiel, they're in bondage. They're captured. God gave them over because of their sin to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So they are in bondage. They're in captivity of a people. Things of God were taken from the worship house of God. The worship house of God was destroyed. There would be 70 years of desolation in which the Israelite nation and those that were there in Judea could not worship their God in the way that God had proclaimed that they should. God is prophesying, chapter 11, verse 19. Read prior to this. You'll see some of the reasons He's done this. Captivity. But verse 19 says, "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of your flesh and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God." Now I'm going to tell you up front, there was never a time after Nebuchadnezzar took Jerusalem that the Jewish nation was free again. So he's not referring to a time in Judea. He's pointing down the road to the Gentile church of God and the lost sheep of Israel, which were brought in first. That is kind of short. We go into more detail in Ezekiel 36. I'm going to tell you up front, give you proof. He's talking about the entirety of God's children. And then I'm going to come back to the text. Ezekiel 37, he prophesies of the whole house of Israel. And I should have found this verse before now, but I didn't intend to use it. But he says in this, "These are the whole house of Israel." This is not just the Jews. This is not just the 10.5 tribes of Israel that in fact no longer existed and had lost their identity because they had moved into a Gentile land and had intermingled with the Gentiles and forsaken the right way. The very first thing their king did when they settled in there was raise up two calves and said, "These be thy gods, O Israel," appointed unclean men to the ministry of the law service and corrupted it. He's not talking about just Jew He's not talking about just Israel. He's talking about the whole house. The whole house of Israel. Jew and Gentile alike. You can find in 37 and verse 15, the Lord talks of taking two sticks. A stick is a staff, a rod, and a king's hand. Take one stick for Joseph. Joseph is a type of Christ in many ways, but there's a reason he uses Joseph. In Genesis 48, you can find where Jacob went to bless the sons of Joseph. Joseph had two sons, Manasseh, the firstborn, and Ephraim, the secondborn. When Jacob was blessing the sons, his father Joseph set the eldest son to the right-hand side of Jacob so that his father's right hand would land upon Manasseh, his oldest, and the left hand upon Ephraim. Jacob was blind and could not see. Understand that. This is all the providence of God. Jacob wittingly crossed his hands and put the right hand on the head of Ephraim. Joseph said, "Not so, not so, my father, for this is the eldest." Jacob says, I know it, my son. And he, the oldest son, Manasseh, shall be a people, singular, Judah, Jerusalem, the law service, all that was contained, all that was held in that when Christ came into the world. And by the way, when he crossed his arms, he made a cross. But Ephraim, the youngest son, shall be a multitude of peoples. Manasseh, when the land was divided, stayed to the south with Judea. The half-tribe of Joseph, Manasseh, stayed to the south with Judea and Benjamin. The other 10 and a half tribes, including the other half-tribe of Joseph, settled in the north, Ephraim. They ceased to exist as a people. Yet here the Holy Spirit is prophesying, take one stick, a rule, a rod. Remember Genesis 49? The scepter should not depart from Judah until Shiloh come. Shiloh means the peace of God. Our peace is in Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. He is our peace. It would be taken from Judah and given to the Gentile church, which include the lost sheep of that day of the house of Israel. He said, take one stick and write on it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. There's your nation of Israel. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, who represents the New Testament church and being blessed by Jacob, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. Israel, the first Israel, a physical nation. Israel, today, a spiritual nation. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's the physical creation. John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That is the spiritual connection. You want proof? Read a few more verses. It shows us that Christ is the light of God. It's talking about the new creation in John chapter 1. Not physical, but spiritual. Spiritual Israel. And join them one stick to another into one stick, and they shall become one in mine hand. This is the whole house of Israel. Jew and Gentile, Jew and Greek,
all chosen before the foundation of the world that Christ would save. And this text in particular, and speaking of the valley of the dry bones, is not speaking of the resurrection of the body. It's speaking of the resurrection of the soul, which I mentioned last week and quite often. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That's God putting life into your soul. I bring that forth to make the point. We haven't left the text. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Why do we keep His commandments? Back to Genesis 36. I'm going to start in verse 21 of Ezekiel 36. Read this text. It tells us our worthlessness. You notice nowhere in here in the Old Testament, nowhere in the New Testament, does it give any indication that we have anything to do with our salvation and our eternal life. Peter said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You have to have a garden to work a garden. You have to have salvation to work out salvation. Life must precede action. The dead cannot move nor think. It's like dead men coming out of the grave. That's why Paul said, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. God is life in Christ, the giver of life, the only way to have life. Now, verse 21 of Ezekiel 36. But I had pity for mine holy name. This is the Holy Spirit speaking of God. Which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God. Listen to this. Listen to this plain, simple teaching. Corrupt not the simplicity which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. John is writing this epistle of 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John to a people who were being bombarded with persecutions and trials and tribulations. They were being persecuted by governors and rulers and so-called religious elite people who were in fact no different from the very Pharisees and Sadducees that God had already destroyed. And there were so many antichrist spreading forth lies about the Son of God, which is why we have 1 John 1 and 1, that which was from the beginning. Our gospel is about the God who created the heavens and earth. And as we just heard Brother Coker say, none can stay His hand. I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake. They had corrupted, belittled the name of God by bringing Him down to the level of a man or an idol. For mine holy name's sake, which ye, that makes it personal, does it not, have profaned among the heathen, the unbeliever at that time, Gentiles in the flesh, whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name. The Jews would not even pronounce His name. It was so holy to them, they uttered Jah, J-A-H, Jehovah. Creator God, self-sustaining, eternal God, without beginning, without end. God, the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, as we know it today. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen, that's us, in the flesh, shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you. Did you catch that? Before their eyes. Not for our sakes, but for His name's sake. The eternal purpose of God, that He, in His Son Jesus Christ, had a people, would come into this world, His body become sin for them when He was nailed to the cross, shed His blood upon them, covering their sin, keeping it brief. And what I'm saying about that, I've said it for weeks, and I'll say it for weeks more if I have the opportunity, made them clean, holy, without blame before God the Father in love, that they might be able to stand before God. God could not look upon them. They were sinners. To make them clean. They were heathen without God in the world, but God made them clean. And then, they being clean in the eyes of God could withstand the Holy Spirit. For I will take you out from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. That's where we are today in our land, this little Bethel spot called Ebenezer. I have been to many. They're all precious. Some may be different with different people, different preachers, young people, old people. But they're all the same. They're precious spots of God where God communes with His people and we fellowship with Jesus Christ. And we sit under the sound of the gospel, the true gospel, and we hear the power and the glory of God in Jesus Christ and the purpose of God in Jesus Christ, and all glory is given unto Him. I don't have any. I don't have a claim to any. Most times I wake up wishing the Lord had taken me home during the night because I'm sick of this place and I'm sick of me. It all belongs to Him. Then, listen to the wording, will I sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean. Do not confuse the Scripture. You are clean in the blood of the Lamb. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. Water did not cleanse us from our sin. Blood cleansed us from our sins. The blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. So then how are we cleaned? By water. Water is the Spirit of God. As God puts His Spirit within us and leads us and guides us and teaches us, what did Jesus say? It's expedient for you that I go away because the Father's going to send you a Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He will guide you into truth and bring you into remembrance of me. The Holy Spirit cleanses our walk. It cleanses our conversation. It cleanses our mind. A new heart, I will sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and I will give you an heart of flesh. Did we have anything to do with that? We were dead in our nature. Give the glory to God. It's all in Christ. God made us holy in Christ. The Holy Spirit of God causes us to seek God. It plants a hope within us of Christ, of seeing Christ, of walking with Christ. And causes us to keep the commandments of God. We'll get into that in a moment. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will. Do you see me in there? Do you see you? And I will, said God, take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you, catch this, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Now let's go back to the text. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. You want a New Testament verse? Philippians 2:13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Want a text to explain that a little farther? Let's go to the book of James, chapter 1. Of verse 18, "Of his own will, God, begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Is that plain enough? Is that simple enough? "And hereby we, God's people," remember they were hearing all sorts of lies from Antichrist in the world. "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." If God has quickened you, if you love God, let's stay with the text in John, we'll get to this in a little bit. If you love God, if you love the brotherhood, not your brother in the flesh, although we have a duty to do that, it's talking about the brotherhood in Christ. Do you love the church? Do you love your brethren and sisters? That's who he's writing to. The precious fellowship in the church of God. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing left in this world I care anything about but the church and my family. The rest, go away. I don't even want to see it or think about it. It's sickening. If you love God, if you love the church, "He that loveth is born of God." If you love your family, that's the first institution God created. You're born of God. And then he says another place we'll get to, "He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." Now, we're going to get into this in a moment, but I'm going to give you a head start on this commandment. From the beginning, love. And today, Jesus said, "I give unto you," and let me find it, John 15, he plainly says, in verse 12, "This is my commandment." These are words written in red. They belong to the Lord. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." His commandments, his law, is love. Paul said, love is the fulfilling of the law. Why did God destroy the world in the days of Noah? Because hatred reigned. Because violence filled the earth. Men hated each other. It's the same way today. Maybe not as bad as it was then yet here in this country. But it's the same way. But that's the special blessing we have in the church of God, is loving God and loving each other. And the parable I can't call the name. The parable of the man that was beat up so bad, and the priest and the Levite walked away on the other side. That old Gentile walked by and took him up and took him to an inn and took care of him. In that parable, a lawyer that was a doctor of the law, one who recorded and put his influence on the law and corrupted it, asked the Lord about what should he do to eternal life, to obtain eternal life. Well, we know we do nothing to obtain eternal life. It's a gift of God to all of his children. But the Lord told him, "Thou knowest the commandments." Love, what was it? I'm making a point with this. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." That is a gift from God to be in such a state. The Good Samaritan, that's who it was. It's a blessing of God. It's a gift of God. You have to be born of God to have that kind of love of God, because our nature is to hate God. This is evidence not of gaining eternal life, but that you've already got eternal life, because God's already put it within you. And then, I shall love thy neighbor as thyself. Now that's a hard one sometimes. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. If we love God, if we love the church, if we love our family, if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, then we're born of God. We know that we, by these things, it's made evident that we know God. None of these lies and blasphemies being taught in the wind of doctrine that blows through the world can gain anything, nothing at all. Only in Christ, only by the Spirit of God, only by the will of God, only by the power of God. We do not come here to gain eternal life. We do not come here to gain blessing. We come here to worship the God that loves us and blesses us, and in that we have fellowship with Him, and in that we have blessing. And in the knowledge of God that He loves us, He'll never forsake us. He'll never leave us. There'll never be a time that He doesn't love us. And no matter what happens in this world, no matter what happens among the governments of men or anywhere else in this world, no matter what the devil does or the angels in hell, God will never forsake us. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. If you love God, it's evident you are a child of God, born of the Spirit of God. Put all that other garbage out there in the valley, in the syndrome where they dumped all their trash, because that's where it belongs. In the trash heap, in the dump pile. He that saith, I know him, this is Antichrist people. Remember what he's talking about. There are many in the world that pervert the word of God. He that said, you want to grow a population in a so-called congregation, put you some neon signs and lights up. Get you a guitar, some hot dogs, hamburgers, football team, basketball team. Put a Coke machine back there in the kitchen. Let's play bingo on Thursday night. You'll have plenty of people come in for entertainment, but there will be absolutely no worship of God, and it will be an abomination in the eyes of God. True and undefiled religion is to love God first and foremost, and to love your brother as yourself, the widows and fatherless. And that is a gift from God in heaven. It comes only from Him. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar. Well, you ought not talk about people like that. What does God say? He is a liar. And the truth is not in him. These people John is calling Antichrist were not God's children. If they were, they were not yet born of the Spirit. And I say that because Paul was an Antichrist until God struck him down on the road to Damascus. He was persecuting the Son of God himself. But God works His way in mercy among His people. And he was changed. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Cut and dried. This is a warning. This is an admonition. This is to give wisdom to God's children. To not take heed to all the lies in the world. But whoso keepeth his word, why do you keep his word? Because God has caused you to. He didn't make you a robot. You're going to fall from time to time. Your fleshly heart's going to be lifted away after other things. You're going to be chastened. You're going to be punished. You're going to be whipped a little bit. Might be whipped severely. I've been before. But God is not going to forsake you. And you will, hopefully,
The Lord will grant repentance and bring you back. And repentance comes from God and God alone. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. I can't give you godly sorrow. I could give you the fear of the Lord if you made me mad enough, somebody out in the world. I get up and see all this stuff they're doing every night on TV, and I'm like Brother Coker, I'd like to sweep through this place and destroy the wicked. But that's not my place. That's not my place. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. God's just as jealous over His vengeance as He is His glory, and that vengeance is part of His glory. But whoso keepeth His word, those born of the Spirit of God, in Him, each individual child that God has quickened, verily, truly, is the love of God perfected. You tell me, when I look in the mirror, and I can't even hardly do it sometimes, when I've laid awake all night battling thoughts and ideas and hatreds in my heart and angers because a million babies a year are murdered in the womb and it makes me so mad, and some woman sleeping in her house in Yates City can't afford to make a living and some heathen breaks in and kills her and takes what little she's got, that makes me so mad. You tell me how I get up and look at my face in the morning. Most times I don't. I brush my teeth over the bathtub and don't even look at my face. You see it on shave. So how is the Word of God perfected in us? Because God, there's a song and I couldn't think of it. God calls a sinner something wild and makes him as His only child. God's love is perfected in you. God loved you from before the world was. God sent His Son to die for you. He died for you. God gave you His Spirit. God changed who you are, how you think, what you love. God made you a new creature, a new creation. You strive and fail and strive and fail and strive and fail. And some days you may even succeed a little bit. To keep the Word of God, love God, and walk in a way which is an adoration of our Lord and Savior who loves us. And one day you'll be delivered into heaven in immortal glory, body, soul, and spirit. In us is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. John is telling these people about these antichrists and these people who hate them. Let's not leave that out. Everybody wants to hold hands today. Sing kumbaya and accept everybody's thoughts and everybody's ideas. You do your way, I'll do mine. God forbid, come out from among them and be ye separate. God help me. He that saith he abided in Him, ought himself also to walk even as He walked. This is something by God's grace that we can do. We come to something that God has given us to do, and that we can do because He has enabled us to do it. He's given us a new heart. He's caused us to walk in His statutes. Back to John 14. I'll just read a few verses. I am the vine, that's Christ. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, if you're walking in His steps, you shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. God has very many sons and very few disciples. Disciple means disciplined student of the Lord, follower of the Lord.
As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continually ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, Christ, might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And then we come down to verse 12 again. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. When we walk in God's way, now every child of God born of the Spirit has what we call a conscience and mourns their sin to some degree when they sin against God, and all sin is against God. But when we come to the church, and we become part of the bride of Christ, we take a vow to the Holy God of heaven to be here, to support the church, to love the church, to love our brethren, to forgive our brethren, to support our brethren, to love God first and foremost. And this is talking about brethren in the church. The whole context is about brethren in the church loving Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. When we walk in His way, in love, God the Father is glorified and His love is perfected in us. That gives Him glory. And He's due it all. I'm so very thankful for the Church of God. I'm so very thankful for what I've been taught my whole life. And for those that I have seen and heard and been around. I'm thankful Brother Roy is here with us. I love you every time I see you. I think as far back as I can remember, I've always remembered you being there, whether here or Beulah or Center Point or somewhere. I thank God for those that stood before as pillars in the church, and I pray to God that I can do the same thing. The Lord's good to us.